Hey everyone, we're live. We're live, pal. Andrew Zarian is with me. What's up, Andrew? I understand that it is a great day for you. Let the audience know what this day is.
Yeah, it's my anniversary with my wife. It's our wedding anniversary.
I would hope so.
My father's birthday. You sometimes say like it's my anniversary, and you're like, anniversary of what? I'm like, my wedding anniversary, and it's my dad's birthday, so it's a very busy day here today.
So you were telling me the number, and we don't have to tell everybody the number, but I was doing the math.
I can tell people.
You guys were young, man.
Yeah, we've been together 17 years, and married for 14.
Wow.
Listen, excellent when you find job. Someone that tolerates your crap as much as my wife, you gotta know you got someone good. No, we started really early. So, we waited for kids. We waited like 10 years. But, you know, we've had a great time. It's been, knock on wood, so far so good.
And I have met your wife. Very, very nice person. And, she like you said, she tolerates you. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, but she's like a pit bull. Don't be mistaken. Don't be mistaken. She's like a pit bull, this one.
There you go. All right. I think we're going to have some time. I took a look at the topics and, you know, we got a decent amount of stuff to talk about, but we may have some time at the end of the show, maybe the last 5 to 10 minutes before Lance Storm kicks us off. Let's let people know how they can send us a question and I'll just keep checking the queue to the last few minutes of the show.
Yeah, if you are watching this live, which I hope you are, you could use the hashtag AskWLP, and you could ask us whatever question you want. You could ask in the YouTube chat. You could ask on Twitter, any of the social media platform, Twitch, and we'll curate those questions at the end of the show, and we'll do our best to answer all of them.
All right, so I guess the first interesting piece of news, and let's get this out of the way, because I was so confused. I guess not confused, but when did you know that Bryan Alvarez was coming out of retirement like Terry Funk for the 100th time?
Listen, if it wasn't for my bad hip, all right, I would have been there. I would have been the partner. I just need 6 weeks to get into shape. I'll get in ring shape. 6 weeks. That's all I hear. Everybody tells me they just need 6 weeks. Okay, fine. I'll take 6 weeks. And I was going to be the partner, but you know, the bad hip. I can't do it. So yes. I will most likely, if something happens to Brian, I guess I'll be the permanent host of Wrestling Observer Live with Mike Sempervivi during the week.
So you're actually hoping for like some sort of injury, like for Filthy Tom coming back from the G1 to like beat Brian senseless so you can take over? Is that the plan?
This is like the... No, that's not my plan. You know, like I'm a vengeance. You know, if something were to happen to him, I would have to step in. I have to get tagged in. I'm excited to see him wrestle, dude. This is awesome.
I know.
He got the itch. He got the itch.
When was I talking to him? It wasn't that long ago when I was just like, oh, you know, are you going to wrestle? Or, my thing with him is we'll go to wrestling shows and I'll see a move and I go, how much would it cost for you to take that move? And he almost all the time he says, I would never. Like, there's no way. And so I just assumed that, you know, he was done, but then when we were in Vegas, actually right before you left or right around the time where you had to go home, he took some sort of cutter or something from Debbie Malenko. And then I was like, oh, he took a bump. I wonder if there's something there. But then I forgot about it. And now he's got this match for All Out Weekend against Filthy Tom in a mixed gender tag there. And I guess I'm going. I think it's after Rampage. I don't know if you heard Wrestling Observer Live last night. I'm sorry, Wrestling Observer Radio. But Dave's like, yeah, you know, I'll be there for your match. But the people that I'm with, I don't know if they're going to like GCW. So it might just be for your match.
Who's he with?
I'm guessing he's bringing family, right? Because otherwise, if he's just bringing wrestling fans, then they'll be fine with GCW. But
I was like, maybe he's hanging out with secret WCW fans that hate everything except for WCW. Dude, I think it's awesome. I absolutely love Brian. I say it all the time. If it wasn't for Brian and Dave, I would not have been doing any kind of podcast about pro wrestling. They put that bug in me, that sickness where I absolutely love this business, and I took it to the level where I do a show about it. But I'm excited to see it, man. I've never had the guts to do it. I think it's absolutely bonkers to want to, you know, to become a wrestler. It takes a very special type of person to be able to not only want to do it, to be able to do it at a competitive level, at a really good level. And Brian is great, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of when's the last time I've seen him. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've actually seen him wrestle in person before. I know that he came here. He actually came here to the Bay Area because my co-host on the Fight Game podcast, John LaRocca, was booking APW, which is our local indie. And Brian did some stuff with Jungle Boy, I think it was. This is years and years and years ago, 5 years.
Yeah, a couple
more.
Years ago. Yeah.
And Dave and I were, I think we had to cover Bellator, which was also in San Jose. So I missed the match of Brian and Jungle Boy. I think it was Brian and Jungle Boy. So you know what? I'm trying to think if I've ever seen Brian in person. I may not have seen him wrestle live in person. This may be my first time. So I'm pretty excited. It came out of the blue.
You were running.
And
maybe does a run-in.
So... well, you know, Dave will like people have asked him, and I've actually done some Q&As where I've interviewed him, and they're like, would you ever get in the ring? He's like, no, I'm not going to be the story. That's not the
smart guy.
Thing. But yeah, so that's kind of fun. All right, let's get to the nitty gritty here, as they used to say. I'm doing Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave on Friday night, and I usually have SmackDown on in the background, just in case something happens, right? Just in, you know, there was the big one was when Brock Lesnar came back when Orton was pulled from that match at SummerSlam. And, you know, so we're watching, I'm not even paying attention to it. I'm just looking at it to make sure nothing happens. And lo and behold, as we're getting ready to finish recording, Karrion Kross comes out. Now, I think Sean Ross Sapp had something on Kross, and WWE possibly trying to work something out. When you saw Karrion Kross, what did you think as far as, you know, is that one of the guys that you wanted to see come back and, you know, one of the former Triple H guys and infuse into the new post Vince McMahon product?
Yeah, he was on, you know, when I spoke to someone a week ago about, you know, names, and I was just throwing names, and he was one of the names that kept coming up, like, oh yeah, Karrion would be great if he came back. I think there's a lot more of these names, obviously. A lot of people kind of put things together. I think Karrion Kross got such a bad deal with that main roster debut. Bad time for it. Bad gimmick. Just it was really messy, and I'm glad that they've hit the reset on this. Listen, great act, Karrion and Scarlett. Fantastic act. So why would you not want that? You know, they sat around, they waited, and that was the best thing they could have possibly done, because now they're back in WWE and they're in a main event position, feuding with Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns eventually. But this is a big, what a 180 from the time that he debuted on that roster, dressed as Sean Connery in that movie. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Where he's wearing like the Speedo and he has like the vest. I forgot the name of it. I keep forgetting it. I thought he looked absurd. And the whole reason for that, by the way, was merch.
Yeah, you told me. They wanted to sell the helmets. Yeah.
I mean, don't you want to wear that outfit for Halloween? They totally missed that demolition, the demolition gear for Halloween in the 80s. So they tried to do it back again.
Do you remember when Hulk Hogan had the helmet with the fist on it? It was a very short time that he was wearing that.
Like 3 weeks.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it reminded me
of. Well, he also did the mask thing with Andre, right?
The mask.
Yeah, didn't they do like a Andre had a mask and he had a mask and...
Oh, you're talking about teaming when up. They were the machines.
The machine, yeah. The machine.
Yeah, they were the machines, and there was a Hulk machine and a giant machine, and yeah, that was kind of funny.
It's funny. I was listening to your show with Dave, right? So I tend to listen in the shower. I just want you to know that. And I'm hearing you talk about it, and I'm like, oh, he's gonna get to the point that Carrion debuts, and I wanted to see what the reaction was. It was cool to kind of like get that live, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird way to do it, but that's the time where Dave wants to record. Like, I'm fine doing it late Saturday, but he's got a bit of a social life, and he's trying to make sure that his Friday nights are open. So we record, you know, about 5 o'clock Pacific. And so it's right when SmackDown starts, and it's even before Rampage. So if anything happens at Rampage, like the one time when CM Punk had to drop the belt, we had to go back and then record another 10 or 15 minutes because that stuff had already happened and I hadn't put the show up yet. So yeah, it's a weird timing, but you know, we're trying to make it work. So the way that angle happened with Karrion Kross coming out, laying out Drew and kind of looking at Roman, and Scarlett's got the clock and Roman's just kind of looking at him. It seemed like they were going to maybe put him into that feud. But as far as what Dave said last night on Wrestling Observer Radio, that is not the case. And it's still going to be Roman and Drew one-on-one at the show in Wales.
You think they'll do a DQ run-in or something where he just takes out both of them and then Roman gets the pin on top of Drew and then the match is set up, you know, between Drew and Karrion, and then Karrion could be an opponent for Roman? Or do you not feed him to Roman yet? Because what is he going to do, beat him? He can't.
Yeah, I think you separate them, and I think they got... It makes all the sense in the world for them to figure out a way to separate the belts, but I don't think beating Roman is the way to do it. So then it becomes this, you know, weird way where you get the belt off of him in some way that is not him losing a match. And that's always weird when they do that. So I don't know, but you would think that if you want to separate those guys, you know, you have Karrion Kross and Drew as a feud, and then whoever's next for Roman as we get ready for WrestleMania, you know, make Cody coming back, whether it's The Rock or not, who knows? But you would think that, you know, you need to separate them. And then what have you heard about, you know, how USA feels with Roman being the champion? I saw something that, you know, maybe they want a belt on their programming. Have you heard anything about that?
I could tell you, listen, this is as 100% as my TV-14 memo, okay? but from speaking at, but by the way, I was told that it's still, like, it's not gone. It just, they've hit the pause on everything. So yeah. we'll you know, maybe we'll go into that later. But I know that USA, for sure. I saw Sean Ross Sapp's report, and I saw some of the other ones. From day one of this hard split, when they saw all of the attention going to SmackDown, that has always been the narrative for USA Network. They feel they get the shit end of the stick and Fox gets everything. They get the big moments, they get the big press, they get the big debuts, and they don't really see much. That I'm not saying that's true, that's just how they feel. And this is unanimously, I've never seen anybody argue or heard that anybody argues that, yeah, no, you're wrong. USA does get the equal... equal portion of SmackDown. Is it true that SmackDown gets more? I think they get a little bit more, but it's more the positiveness towards SmackDown because it's 2 hours. It's an easier show, and it's been better even throughout the terribleness of Raw. It's always been a better show, SmackDown. Now, you know, it's kind of splitting. I thought the last couple of weeks have been decent shows Raw has done, and it's been a little bit less of that. But of course, they want the debuts, and they want even distribution. The title being on one person is an issue, especially that person is a SmackDown guy predominantly. Mm-hmm. So
now
they definitely want that title on TV.
Do you think that USA, like let's say that WWE is like, hey, this is the storyline we want. This is going to be all tied up until WrestleMania. So that's, you know, several months. That's over half of a year still left to go. Do you think USA would be okay with, like, okay, the belt can stay on SmackDown, but you need to give us X. You need to give us, you know, whatever big player that's on SmackDown. Would they be okay with something like that? They did have
Cody. So WWE's answer to that is that the split is not a hard split. The titles will be on both TVs if necessary. If there's a program for Roman, of course, Roman will be on Raw. That's their answer. When I mean, I sat down with them for like 3 hours before the whole Vince McMahon thing. So everything is kind of out the window. And I've been not so mobile this entire summer. But it was always, no. The split is a split, but it's not a hard split. It's people are going to flow in for storyline reasons and to kind of help each brand. And I don't know if that's them being truthful, but that was their stance on this a couple of weeks ago. I agree. They need to do more with Raw, but I think it has to do with the fact that you got to fill in more time. You know, think about it. Video package. It's too much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the one thing, right, is part of the reason why I watched that 90-minute cut of Raw is because it eliminates all of the advertising within the television show for stuff that I already know about. And that's the stuff that, you know, that I'd normally fast forward through. So might as well just eliminate that anyway.
But you know, with that said, though, I have to tell you, though, they are very hopeful this new Triple H era is going to really revive creative. But Fox as well. It's equal from both sides. You know, when both sides believe that this guy, you know, you always hear about Vince McMahon's Midas touch. Everybody talks about that Midas touch. You know, did he have it? Did he not have it? That's, you know, that's up to you. If you enjoyed his TV, then you think he had it. But for most people, people felt a 70-something-year-old man should not be writing TV for an 18 to 34 demo or 18 to 40 whatever demo, because he's not relatable to that demo, especially if when you're a billionaire. Mm-hmm. You're not very relatable to reality. Hunter is a good bridge. He's younger. He understands the business. He has younger kids, so he's around a lot of this stuff. Both Fox and NBC or USA believe that he will be able to do something here. So there's not a lot of pressure. I mean, there is a lot of pressure, but there's not a lot of that, you know, concern that things are going to fall apart.
Yeah, I don't think things are going to fall apart either. They are a machine and an engine, and they are built to continue to pump out content. And you know, he'll make adjustments here and there that so far have been pretty cool, right? Like the wrestling matches are a little bit more interesting. There's not repetition with every single thing. They're actually able to do certain moves that maybe they weren't able to do prior. So that then those matches are a little bit longer, which is generally pretty decent. I guess, you know, we're talking about Triple H. It's going to be a big story. We're going to talk about this for a long time. And we gave a lot of attention to him last week. And I guess I'll ask you one more thing as it relates to him, and then we can kind of move on. But there is an opportunity for him to do surprises in the same way that Tony Khan and AEW was doing surprises all of last year, right? That really heated them up. You know, when you bring in Punk and Danielson and Adam Cole as surprises, most of the hardcore fans know that they're coming, and then you're using the hardcore fans and their social media and their tweets to kind of create the momentum for you. And so we saw Triple H on SummerSlam. We talked about it last week. He brought back Bayley and Io and Dakota Kai, and then brings back Cross. Yesterday, last night, he brought back Dexter Lumis. Now, I imagine Triple H likes him. He was in NXT for a long time. But that was one where I was like, okay, like if you're going to utilize this format, the surprises have to be interesting and they have to be important. When you start using your surprises as a way to bring Dexter Lumis back, who he can fit on the show, that's fine, but he is not someone that the audience is like desperately like bring these people back, right? That's the Gargano. Like they want the fan base really wants Gargano to come back. You got to save the Dexter Lumis stuff. Like I think that was maybe the one wrong one so far. Utilize not the fact that he brought back Dexter Lumis. Like if Dexter Lumis is going to be part of, like you said, a 3-hour show on Monday Night Raw, so be it. But don't use him as a surprise, because the internet was fired up for Bayley and Io and Dakota during SummerSlam. Fired up. They were just so excited. Karrion Kross, as much as the WWE fan base doesn't really have a big relationship with him, but still that felt interesting, right? You're like, ooh, what are we going to do here? Dexter Lumis is not the same. So to you, what are you seeing? Like, what do you want to see? We talked about a little bit last week with the Braun Strowmans and different people he could bring back, but he has an opportunity to show the fans very goodwill and get them excited. What how would you like to see him bring back certain folks? Do you like the surprise angle? Would you like to see the old school WWE, the vignettes, right? Bring back the vignettes. Like, how would you, as WWE fan since you were a kid, like to see Triple H bring some of this talent back?
I like the surprises. I also like the vignettes. The vignettes are cool if it's an established, like, you know, someone that was already established and he went away and he's coming back. I think for a Dexter Lumis, which caught a lot of people by surprise that Lumis came back, but you know, you look at him, he's impressive looking. He's 6'2", right? I think 6'2", 6'3", at least a 230, 240. You know, he fits in well with their program. And Hunter's going to guys that he had plans for. And you know, continuing those plans. I think Lumis is he's not a, like, I don't think it's a bad idea to bring him in. It just matters on the program. I'm more interested in how is he going to develop the talent, right? How is he going to introduce them and tell the story and make them legitimate? And also, by the way, last night we also saw a revamp to Kevin Owens, right? Mm-hmm. He reintroduced him as a different guy. Essentially, he came back as how he was in NXT. I get it. I think the vignettes would be great when you're bringing someone up, like a Braun Strowman. Braun Breaker. Do a vignette for Braun Breaker for a couple weeks, you know, and then have him debut and attack someone and do that. I think that's cool. But I got a question for you. Okay,
yep.
Who do you think he should outside of like Bray Wyatt? You know, like what else can he do that you would be impressed if somebody showed up on TV that's available right now outside of Gargano and, you know, Bray? Is there anybody?
Well, Sasha and Naomi is a big one, right?
That's the big one. Yeah, that's a really big one.
Now, I don't know. Sasha seems to have received some negative press over the weekend from the photos that she was taking and social distancing herself.
6 foot social distancing. Yeah. You know what's funny though? I got to tell you, like, there were multiple people that messaged me because I liked somebody's post that they were like, mm-hmm. they're like, you know, I was kind of bummed out. Like, I was very happy to meet him, but I was kind of bummed out that I was like so far away. And right. People were photoshopping them closer. There were other people that were saying like, oh, no, I didn't have that experience. I just went up and like was next to them.
So it looks like after day one, when they got a lot of the negative feedback, they fixed some of it. Like, as far as I can tell now, I don't know because I wasn't there, but I started to. People were talking about it and I kind of clicked around and that's what it seems like happened. But that's just sort of my very cursory glance at this. But yeah, they would be the ones, right? There was so much created when they left and then the WWE's hand slapping and all of that. And then to bring them back, that's like the best will possible for Triple H is to bring them back. And I think, I mean, if we're looking at the way that this tournament is being booked, it does seem like the end boss is going to be Sasha and Naomi after they get the new champs, right? Like, it's like, nope, we're the ones. You got to face us first. Yeah. You know, after you just won your championship, you got to defend against us. That's what it seems. And I would be really down with that. I'm actually not a giant Bray Wyatt person here anymore, just because, you know, the Fiend has been more detrimental to booking than anything else. It's like they could not book him without hurting the people who he was facing. So I like the Bray Wyatt character better than the Fiend, but you were telling me that, you know, the Fiend is a big merch guy, so. I don't know. I don't know where that stands.
But you can modify it. You know, he doesn't have to be that untouchable. Like, Undertaker was one of those guys. For a long time, people argued that the Undertaker was a detriment to their opponents because this guy no-sold everything you were doing. You know, Hulk Hogan is the greatest wrestler, you know, the strongest and the greatest in WWF history. And he's going up against this zombie and nothing he does works. He's punching him. Nothing works. So I get it. I totally agree with you. He was a detriment to some. But as far as business went and fandom, that character was, it's not, I could see it through other people's eyes, right? Like, is that like the guy for me? Is that the number one? No, but I did appreciate the character. I appreciate Bray's effort into it. I believe you need an attraction like that for just to fit that role. You definitely do. Mm-hmm. And they hit the nail on the head. That gimmick could have come off so goofy and dumb, and it could have failed within half a day. But it didn't. It worked because it's Bray. Why would you leave that on the table here? Or you could modify it a little bit and do something else that's a little spooky. They definitely need that spooky, mysterious guy, right? That does that stuff. They love that shit.
Yeah, as far as like who else they can bring back, like there are some guys who are really good. Some talent is really good, like a Timothy Thatcher. But he was not on the main roster, so he could come back to NXT and be kind of a cool thing. But yeah, you know, outside of them, I mean, there's Birch and Lorcan who could do something. But again, they're more NXT. So I don't know. For the main roster, a lot of the people who would be the folks that the internet would want to see, they all signed with AEW. So there's not a lot of folks left from that grouping that I think would really be a decision, you know, a game changer, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Okay. From the talent that they have currently, that they're not doing anything, give me like four people or five people that you think, or three, whatever you can, that you think they can repackage into something big.
That's a good
one. Or something way better than they're doing, right? Something way better than where they're at, whether or not they're on the lower end or they're going to turn into something huge. You know, whatever, whoever you feel could see an improvement.
So if this is just main roster, the number one person I would do something with is Matt Riddle. Now, some may say, oh, you know, Riddle's doing very well. Like, they've definitely seen him at a certain perspective, right? They don't want to go the whole way with him. I think you should go the whole way with him at some point. He would be my number one. But a lot of the other guys that I would choose, like Ricochet, Chad Gable, it seems like they're getting a little bit. I've always said that I would push Montez Ford to the moon. Now, based off of what I saw,
but that was always in the plan. That was in the plans.
But based on what I saw from SummerSlam, I didn't think he had a really good showing at SummerSlam. I didn't think from the character perspective that he was that great. So, you know, but I think the opportunity is still there. I think you still go with him. But those would be the ones, you know, I think
Dominik Dijakovic.
Well, I mean, gosh, can you really, like, how much time would it take for that poor guy for you to
recreate
what
I would've done?
Him? Oh, man.
What they did with Loomis, what they did with Dexter Loomis, I would have done with Dominik, and I would have totally changed. No more of this nonsense that he's doing, right? I would have just brought him in as that big dude that could really work well with smaller guys and bigger guys. He's a guy, I mean, super talented, right? Super, super talented. Just they killed him with that ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's him, Ricochet, Mustafa Ali, you know, Mansoor's in his thing right now, but they have a handful of those guys that are just sitting there, and you look at them and you're like, they were so good. What's going on? What happened here?
The one, and I think she's in a really good spot, but Rhea Ripley is the one that I would just push to the moon. I think she's got everything that they want in a superstar.
Can you imagine? She is how tall? How big? You know what I mean? Gorgeous, right? Has a very unique look. Great overall presence.
She's powerful. She's so strong.
Powerful. How do you not have her as the person in that women's division? How is she not the world champion, the monster that just goes through everybody? Build her up. And you know what? Here's a great example, right? Now we're fantasy booking. Ronda does not have that opponent to be a baby face against, right? Because she's so disliked. you build her up as like, oh my God, Ronda can't beat her. Ronda can't beat her. And you make Ronda into like this really liked baby face, you know, that could chase her for the title. You could do so much. And I think now we'll see it, right? The convolutedness of their booking philosophy is out the window. That even 20 years, I would say they're less than that, right? When did this really get bad? After 06, right? And then it got good again for a little bit. Their booking got better, like 2016, 2000, 2014 to 2018, things were kind of better.
It's really blurry for me as far as the booking, because, you know, for us, when we're growing up, it's Benoit and Eddie Guerrero and guys like that. And then Vince and Ray. And then Vince would finally go all the way with them. But it was almost going all the way with them to prove a point that they weren't that level, you know. But, you know, all that stuff is kind of just blurred to me. Like the last 20 years, and I'm like, oh, going back to 2002, WrestleMania 18. Like that stuff is it's all such a blur because the product has been so similar for the last 20 years.
I just found out that Rhea Ripley's 5'6", 5'7".
So she's wearing giant.
What is she wearing? Like 4-inch lifts?
Zeus? Like Zeus with Hogan? So he looks
like Zeus and Hogan. She has like the lifts like this big. I mean, but think about that, right? She's 5'7", but look at the presence she has. She walks around like she's 6'2".
She's got to be bigger than 5. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on with her and Dominic Mysterio, man. She's like, she's picking this dude up, carrying him on her back, slapping him around, pulling his hair.
There might be you want to toot a Dominic.
There's just something. There might be something else going on about that. So I don't know. All right. Well, let's table the WWE stuff. You know, we're going to be talking about this forever. Let's talk about AEW. They had the Battle of the Belts show. Did you watch the Battle of the Belts show?
I did. Yeah.
What did you think of that main event?
I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot. Did you? Is that not a take that people really enjoyed that?
It was a great, great match. It was a weird match to me because not the fact that Claudio was in a big match, but it was kind of impromptu, put together, no story. And Takeshita had essentially, you know, I think he's had one televised win, and that was the day before. So it was kind of a weird match for me. Like, if you're trying to draw a television rating, and I know people are like, oh, I'm sick of hearing about the ratings, but these are very important to AEW, right? Because they're going to be coming up on a TV renegotiation, and their world, when it comes to Warner Brothers Discovery, is much different than it was, you know, just 6 months ago. And So I don't understand having a show like this and not really putting a whole lot of attention to it when it comes to trying to build a big time main event to draw some eyeballs. Now they may
be, you know what though, Garrett, the whole thing with Battle of the Belts though, all three of them, they it hasn't been what people thought. Like, people thought it's the Clash. That's what people wanted. They want a Clash of the Champions. They wanted a 2-hour or 3-hour program once a quarter that goes on Saturday nights at 7 or whatever time you're going to put this on at 8 o'clock. That's what people wanted. No matter what you do, they're not going to be able to fulfill this. You know these matches. And again, this is something I've been saying for a while. And I know before I say it, I know that they had to do that Friday show. I get it. It was more money. Yeah. The network wanted it. I get why they're doing Battle of the Belts. But it has been a detriment to Nitro. Jeez, I'm losing my mind. To Dynamite. Thunder's been a detriment to Nitro. I mean, it's the same conversation, right? It's the same exact thing. You are giving away a match for only half a million people to watch, or 400,000 or 378,000. I don't know what you could do with Friday anymore. I don't know what the answer there is. And I don't think they know either. I think they're just trying. But when you got a Battle of the Belts here, you know, make this mean something. Make it really mean something. And they haven't.
So the people who will defend that show will say Wardlow was in a segment on Dynamite that translated over to Battle of the Belts. Agree with you, but that in of itself wasn't built up. It felt a little, you know, hot shoddy, I guess you would say. And then, you know, the Thunder Rosa and Jamie Hayter match, that was the right match to do. But both of those matches were like first hour of Dynamite matches. And so then you're counting on Claudio versus Takeshita in a babyface versus babyface match with no buildup. And Takeshita is awesome, but he also is positioned as somebody who's not going to win this match, at least now. Now, he may win one before, you know, his time in the U.S. is up, but that is not how he is positioned now. The fan base is not like how it was with Wardlow going into the MJF match, right?
Yeah.
They built so much into Wardlow winning that match that when we saw it, it was like, yes, yeah, finally, you know? That they haven't built that with Takeshita. So, again, the match was fantastic. Takeshita's awesome. Claudio's awesome. But I was just kind of like, we see really good wrestling often. And if you're watching the G1, there's really good wrestling there. I know people will say, the five-star Grand Prix with Stardom, like there's really good wrestling there. We get good matches on Dynamite. You know, we're seeing better matches on Raw. So, yeah, the good, you know, great match, that's happening. There's a lot of them. Maybe not as good as that one, but pretty close. And so I was just kind of confused about what the goal of that show is. And I don't know. I think maybe Saturday night, maybe they're okay with that number. But I actually think it's a negative because of overexposure. Like, I, as someone who has watched, I think I may have missed two Dynamites, and that was all because of vacation. I don't want to watch Rampage, and I don't want to watch Battle of the Belts. Now, I will, because it's for this show, and it's for stuff that I do with Dave. But it's not because I'm like, it's Friday night, can't wait to watch Rampage.
Yeah.
It's more because we're supposed to. Now, maybe you can't be like that with so much wrestling on TV. You have WWE on, you know, 6-7 hours a week. And so maybe that's part of this. But, you know, I when Rampage started, I was like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm interested in if this is going to be an A show. Tony said it was an A show. It has turned out to not be an A show. It is the Sunday night heat of the AEW product. And then Battle of the Belts, if it's supposed to be Clash of the Champions, well, guess what? Guess who was wrestling on Clash of Champions? Ric Flair and Sting and Lex Luger, not Takeshita in the main event, right? Yeah.
I don't think they intended that to kind of be the story of Battle of the Belts. I think sometimes when you have a lot of moving parts, this is just what happens. I think Rampage is a byproduct of that. I think the whatever concept they would have had for this, I can't imagine they thought a one-hour show would be able to tell a story for an A show. It's very difficult. So you have to be also selective. But however, I have to tell you, Rampage was a better show this week because it was live. They put in more effort in this week's show, and guess what? The ratings kind of showed it.
Yeah. Moxley was there.
I want to get your opinion on that, about the Mance Warner and the John Moxley match. I really do. I just want to say, send all the hate mail to Garrett if you don't agree with his opinion. I have no opinion on this. If you loved it, I loved it. If you hated it, I hated it.
You know, I didn't really have an opinion on it from the perspective of like really happy or really bothered. Like, I just saw it as an opportunity. You know, they tied in the Ric Flair thing with this opportunity to have a match. Once I saw it was Mance Warner, I knew it was going to be bloody and it was going to be a brawl. I only know of Mance Warner because of stuff that he's done for MLW, because I know Court would push him in MLW. But ultimately, you know, let's go back to when we were watching when we were kids. If this was Bret Hart versus Barry Horowitz, you see Barry Horowitz in the role that he was, and you're like, oh, I just like watching Bret Hart wrestle, so this is fun, and it'll be a fun match. And Barry Horowitz is, you know, he always loses, but, you know, he's going to be spirited in this loss. I think the problem is because Moxley and some of the other guys, when they wrestle these folks who aren't really promoted on AEW TV, the matches are a little bit more competitive than people are used to or want to see the champion. You know, we want a dominant AEW champion. So I could see it from that perspective. But ultimately, if, you know, this was kind of like a tryout, right? If AEW was like, oh, this guy's cool, like, let's bring him in, let's sign him. And for him, it's a great opportunity because he's, you know, he's working for MLW. He's doing independent stuff. Now, I don't know I don't know if he's still with MLW or not, but, you know, it's an opportunity for him to come out and have the best match possible. And I'm sure Moxley saw it the same way, like, oh, you know, let's give this guy some TV time, and I want him to look good. And so ultimately, yeah, when I see it that way, I don't really care. It doesn't hurt me as a fan to go, why is Mance Warner having this competitive match, you know, with the champion? Like, but there is an old school mentality with some of the fan base who's like, why isn't this a squash? We have no idea about this Mance Warner, you know, so why is he even on this show? Like, you know, why haven't he been built up? Like, there's a certain old school mentality to some of this stuff. And I think for AEW, I think they believe canon for some of this stuff is independence. And it's some of that fan base that they have who absolutely knows who this guy is. It was kind of, you know, you got lightning in a bottle with Eddie Kingston, right? People knew Eddie Kingston. Not everybody knew Eddie Kingston, but immediately he comes out and you're like, oh, wow, like that guy deserves to be here. And not everyone can be Eddie Kingston. Some of them are going to be the other guy. Who was the other guy who came in and with the tassels and stuff, and people thought, you know, he was going to kind of blow people away from the indies. This was right when Eddie Kingston came. Whoever, I forgot that guy's name, but you're not always going to get Eddie Kingston in those moments.
Listen, here's the reality, right? By the way, I'm going to talk about this match a little bit, but I just want people to know I booked Mance Warner for Catalyst Wrestling. Okay. We were booking him, but he had that injury. I think he broke his leg or whatever it was. So I'm high on him for sure. I think he is one of those guys in the indies that stands out. For whatever reason, he stands out to you. I think his promos are, you know, unique. He does that. He has a little bit of a Steve Austin thing going with his voice, and, you know,
mm-hmm,
it works for him. He looks like a tough guy. He's a tough guy, and it works. I'm not crazy about a lot of blood. I think it's necessary to do it at certain times. I think it's fine. I'm okay with it. I'm not going to, you know, preach people on gigging and stuff like that. However, I'm not a fan of like the ultra violent style of wrestling. This match was a little violent. You know, that choke was a little violent. It was a violent match, but that fits in. It's canon to John Moxley right now. Not so much Mance Warner. It's not about Mance Warner. It's about John Moxley going through these ridiculous tough battles as your champion. He's your traveling champion. He's one of those guys. I thought it was fine. It was fine. Now it depends. If you like the hardcore stuff, you're gonna freaking love this. If you're a GCW fan, you like Mance Warner, you like his indie stuff, you're gonna love this. If you've never seen Mance Warner, you're gonna say, who the hell is this guy? If you don't like that style, you're gonna be disgusted with it and hate it. There's a different perspective all around in pro wrestling. Everybody likes something else. You know, I really, really like the Bryan Danielson style. That is what I like. I like the Kenny Omega style. I like the story within the match. I'm not a deathmatch guy, but I could appreciate it if it's good.
Sure.
I think sometimes when you look at it that way, it's better. It got a lot of criticism on Saturday, and I actually went back and watched it. And it was the second time watching it, I was a lot softer on my takes on this match than I was Friday night after watching it. I don't know why. I guess it wasn't as shocking, you know, like the whole, like the choke, the finish, the choke finish was the thing for me. I was like, I you don't really see that in wrestling, and it stood out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the positive. It got us talking about it, right?
It's funny because, you know, we are talking about Mance Warner because that was part of wrestling Twitter, right? People were interested in talking about him. And I don't think I said a negative thing about him. And even in our chat, they're like, why are you overanalyzing this? And it's like, well, because that's what we do. Like we analyze stuff on this show, but also kind of raising awareness for something that someone else may not have seen. And then they're going to go watch it and then they'll give their opinion. But ultimately the way that I like to look through these things is through a lens of fairness. And I don't look at something and go, oh, that was despicable, right? Like that's like Jim Cornette. He's going to have opinions so widely ranged and so emotional, but that's not how I do it. Like, cause I look at it from a reasonable perspective and go, this side may see it this way. This side may see it this way. And, you know, I agree or disagree, but the reason for talking about it is because it's what people were talking about. So that, you know, that is that overanalyzation. It's like, no, we're having a discussion on what people are talking about and giving our opinions on it. But
and listen,
anyway.
Here's the other thing, guys. Here's the other thing. We do the show because we love doing a show. We love you guys engaging. But you know what? A little bit of this is therapy for me. I love talking wrestling with Garrett. Like, this is there's no difference in this conversation that we're having than we would sitting at a bar, or sitting at my kitchen counter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is how it's a conversation amongst good friends. And I
except
think
Rich
the
might
most
be there cracking
part.
Jokes.
Rich would be there cracking jokes. Rich loved that Mance Warner match, by the way. He loves John Moxley. I think a little more than you. I think you guys are going to have to fight over John Moxley.
Do you think Moxley's going to have like the Dusty Rhodes forehead, you know, at some point? Because, man, that guy bleeds all the time.
You know, I he's really solidifying this portion of his career. I was thinking about this the other, like 10 years from now, talking about the footprint John Moxley has left on the business. The story is going to be this guy left his multi-million dollar cushy job at WWE to go and, you know, start wrestling, you know, going AEW and helping that brand, but also going on the independents and reviving that after a pandemic. You know, I think the John Moxley effect being on the indies and doing these shows is going to go a lot further 10 years from now when the story is told than we're kind of currently seeing.
You know what's interesting about that, what you just said, is my head immediately went to, is there even an inkling of a possibility that he would go back to WWE with no Vince McMahon? Like, I don't think so. I don't sense that he's the biggest fan of Triple H, though I may be wrong about that. I'm just going based on what he wrote in his book. But, like, talk about a story that would break the internet, at least the pro wrestling internet. Like, you know, Triple H being able to bring that guy back. You know, everyone talks about, oh, the Shield would be reunited and all that stuff. But, like, I mean, Cody has so much fun. Yeah, Cody did. You know,
Cody started AEW. I mean,
Blueprint. Cody's the blueprint for that. But, like, because what you said is Moxie loves the independents so much. Like, he would have to give all that stuff up. And I don't think he's willing to do that, but
in your life, man, different phases, you know, having a kid kind of changes a lot. Not saying that I have no idea what John Moxley would want to plan, and whatever he does, it's going to be best for him and his family at the end of the day. But
yeah,
your perspective changes on life. You know, your kid is now 10, your kid is now 7. You're kind of winding down your career. You kind of think I want it to be a little bit easier. And where are you going to go for a lot of money? You know, there's a lot changes. A lot changes. Your perspective changes. I don't think we would be. We even thought we would have a discussion 6 months ago about life after Vince McMahon in 2022 in pro wrestling. That was not on my bingo sheet at all. You know what? Who had that on that Observer the prediction show?
The Brian
Who
show, Brian's prediction show.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anybody say Vince McMahon is going to be out? You know, of WWE. I'm curious.
Yeah. Well, Brian will revisit that January 1st next year.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick before we get to a couple questions, then we'll get out of here. Quake by the Lake. John Moxley against Chris Jericho. Jade Cargill against Madison Rayne. Darby and Brody in a coffin match. Lucha Bros against Andrade and Rush in a tornado match. Gosh, all these stipulation matches. Ricky Starks versus Aaron Solo in an FTR appearance. Does this feel like a fairly big Dynamite to you?
I have to tell you, they got to hit a home run with that main event, huh?
Yeah.
They got to hit a home run with that main event. And here's the thing, right? They haven't hit a million with those. They had two big shows back to back. They did not hit a million views.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, this is going to be a nice little test to see what they could do between Jericho and him. They're going to have a good match. How could they not? You know, Jericho's Jericho and Moxley's on a roll. He's of his career right now. He's doing unbelievable. But it has to be a really good show. I think it's good. I think it's fine. The AEW fan base is going to love it. Now it just matters. Is it enough to get the casuals to tune in and stay?
All right. I wanted to talk about that a little bit and get your thoughts because the first question I think is really interesting. And it is about whether or not Punk comes back at All Out. And if he doesn't, who faces Moxley for the world title? Because coming out of Quake by the Lake, you
terrible
have
name,
to have your
way.
Main event. You have to have your main event, right? You have that, like that has to come out of that show, I think, because, you know, we have less than a month until, well, unfortunately, and this makes me sad, you're not going to be in Chicago, but until that show, that they have to have the main event, I think, by Wednesday. That's the big thing coming out of this. Who do you think?
I would hope
so. Not Punk.
I mean, man, if it's not Punk, and remember, that's a really hot building. Like, it's a heat magnet, that building. People are looking to lose their mind in Chicago at All Out. The best wrestling experience, I mean, best live show I've ever been to was that show. And I've been to unbelievable shows. With that said, I mean, who do you have? I would say MJF.
I think he's
If he's the guy, I mean, if that's the moment, it would have to be MJF if you're not doing Punk. And MJF wins the interim title, and now you've set up CM Punk and MJF title for title. He beats Punk for the title. My God, they will have their first, you know, monster level heel as their champion. Everybody else is beloved, but this is a guy that really gets booed because he's so good. I would think him. I think, who else could they put? I don't know. You know what? Danielson. I would do maybe Danielson. I think that's a main event for a title that you would want to see. What a great moment that is. Danielson wins a title and he holds it up now. Maybe Punk comes out at the end. If he's not ready, he could still do a walk-in title, two titles holding up. And now this is the match. This is that big match. Maybe do it at Grand Slam.
What about if I said Wardlow? What is your immediate reaction?
He would be rejected in that building. But that's my opinion.
All right.
What do you think?
I don't think it's the right time for him. I think he's cooled off a lot since then. Do you think, here's another question. Do you think when he says Wardlow's world, the fan base will start singing la 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 Wardlow's world?
That would. I hate that Wardlow's world. I hate it. It comes off so like pushed in because AEW doesn't really do that. The catchphrases, you know, the pushing. You know what? Someone's going to do that, and it's going to kill him. That first heel that does that Elmo's world promo on him, it's going to kill him. It's over.
Yeah, my kids are in their 20s, so I don't know if Elmo's world is still a thing, but it was when they were small. All right, one more question we'll take. Thank you to the people who did send the questions. Let's go with this one because we were kind of talking about it earlier. And Stephen May says, do you really think Reigns losing one match to Drew is that big of a deal? It's not like he is some no-name. Now, I will say what I was going to say first, which is I don't think it's about a no-name or not a no-name. I think it is about the main story that they want to tell, right? It is what is the, do you want to go into WrestleMania with Roman kind of having everything, you know? I don't, if you do, then I wouldn't have Drew take the title from him. But if your goal is to see Drew as this giant, giant babyface in the UK, and you're comfortable maybe even splitting the titles, or maybe somehow they make this for the Raw belt and not for the SmackDown, whatever, let's make a babyface and let's do it. I think Roman can take the loss, but it's not my opinion on who should win the match. It is what is WWE's long-term goal with this. Do they want Roman as strong as humanly possible for The Rock or for Cody? Because if so, then I wouldn't switch plans just because we're having this match in Wales and it's a great story. I would still do my best to make Drew look utterly fantastic, but I wouldn't just switch the belt for switching the belt's sake. I would wait until the moment that you think is the right time to do that.
But that might be the moment, right? That may be the moment. That building is going to be really full. The sales have been really good for that show, and I think a lot of people initially thought it was too expensive to tickets and they wouldn't be able to pack that building.
Yeah,
that
there was a backlash, right? Right, when
tremendous
when the release came out. Yeah, the sales.
Yeah, I forgot what the WrestleTix has it if you follow him on Twitter. But you know what? I if it wasn't Roman, I would say 100% you need to put the title on Drew.
Yeah.
But maybe you still should put the title on Drew and create, you know, a mega baby face. They don't have it right now. You know, Cody's out. So you want to create this guy. It's a very heel. The heels are the best characters on that TV show. Outside of Cody. Cody was great as a baby face. But Matt Riddle's great as a baby face. But maybe you do put the title on him at that show. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer here is.
Sarah in the chat reminded us that Theory still has his briefcase. So there could be shenanigans there with that. Maybe
imagine you know, he wins.
We were wondering if he was going to be involved in the Brock and Roman match. And he was there, but ultimately he just had to take a siesta for about 10 minutes. And so, you know, they could do something shenanigans wise there with him. So that is also something that they can do. All right. So that is it. We will get out of here, but I want to let you plug away. What's the schedule with Matt Men?
I've been doing it on Fridays for the summer. The news has been coming in hot on Thursdays and we keep missing it. So we moved it to Friday. So we're doing it Fridays, 10 a.m. Eastern. I know it's very early for the West Coast, but it's a great time. My brain is firing on all cylinders at that time. You know, 4:30, I start winding down and I'm done for the day. So I'll be doing that on Thursday, on Friday, Sunday. I'm back with Wrestling Observer Live this week. I believe I have RJ City on with me.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, RJ City. Yeah, he's going to be coming on. I love it. By the way, he's brilliant. He's so freaking funny. I went through all of his AEWs. He's so funny, this guy. Right up my alley.
Yeah, perfect.
Great hair on him.
that should be fun then, because you'll have someone to kind of play off of a little bit. That's always fun.
Yeah, so that's this Sunday.
All right, for me, I have the Fight Game podcast. Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I pre-recorded a segment with a guy named Scott Edwards, who is big time into Joshi, and he's covering the 5-star Grand Prix. So I wanted to talk to him about Joshi, because like Joshi's kind of like bubbling, right? With New Japan and Stardom working together, there's going to be some Stardom matches in the U.S. through the Strong promotion. And so I think it's a kind of a cool time, you know, if people were kind of like, can I add more wrestling? It was a good time for me to talk about it, because I am sort of at that stage too. It's like, I don't really have the time, but it's so cool and so interesting. And I hear the Grand Prix is great. So I interviewed him, and I'll play that on the tail end of my show with John. And of course, John and I are going to break down Quake by the Lake. And hopefully, you know, hopefully it'll be a good show, because, you know, we'll disagree on a lot of things, because he's a little bit more old school in his mentality when it comes to AEW. But ultimately, you're always just rooting for a good wrestling show, because then it's fun to you know, talk about. So hopefully we get a good one. And then, I'll be back with Dave on Friday on Wrestling Observer Radio. So we'll have whatever happens. You know, usually we cover what the latest that was in his Wrestling Observer newsletter.
By the way, I just want to say one thing. This is, you can pass this on to Dave before I wrap it up. We got like 10 seconds. People are bombarding me. They want the Observer to be no more stars. They just want Andrew Zarian unbuttons. How many unbuttons do you get? This has been started by Sean Ross Sapp. He wants the Observer. Fightful is suggesting that the Observer eliminate the stars and just go unbuttons. How many Andrew Zarian unbuttons is this match?
Well, I think you're going to have to get that just over
pass,
somehow.
You know what? Pass that idea to Dave. Let's see what he thinks.
All right. Thanks to everybody for checking us out, and also on the podcast for listening. For Andrew, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.